This is Images. I'm Fred Martino. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm pleased to have with me in the studio today Senator Howie Morales. He's running for the Democratic nomination for governor in New Mexico. Senator, thanks so much for being with us.
Fred, thank you. Always good to be able to be here and visiting with you.
It's great to have you here. And we talked recently on KRWG-TV. I'm glad you had a chance to come back pretty quickly because you've had some exciting news recently. The win that you had at the pre-primary convention, the number one pick amongst Democrats at the convention for the nomination for governor. Tell me about the impact of that.
Well, the impact has been huge for us as a campaign, as we go and we try to unite New Mexicans together to ensure that we can get behind one candidate. And I think that that was something that we showed as an organization, as a campaign, and as a candidate, that we're really going to resonate well with people across the state of New Mexico. We took it extremely serious. We traveled every part of the state. We met with individuals as much as possible, and our message really was clear that individuals around the state want a fresh face. They want an opportunity with new energy to be able to have that experience and be able to win this governorship back in November. So we've seen that it's shown that we have the organizational capabilities to be able to put a strong campaign together. It also has gone through and really helped us out because we've also seen a boost in support, not only from individuals who were there supporting us from the beginning, but all the people, also people who were supporting other candidates. They now see when you come up with 30% of the vote with five people in the race, that really shows strength of what direction we're heading in.
Okay. Well, another reason that you've been busy in the last few months here involves the legislative session. And I want to take a moment to talk about the session and your thoughts on it. Let's start with the positive thoughts on the session, the things that you think went well, the accomplishments that were made.
I think that there was a lot of positives that came out of this legislative session, and that was important as we came in. It was a 30-day session where we focused mainly on the budget, and I think that that's a big component because I knew I was extremely involved in the discussions because I sit on the Finance Committee, that we got a budget out that was really going to work for the people of the state of New Mexico. Even though I believe that that we had some challenges, we had to make some compromises, it was a unique year because usually the budget will come, it'll start from the House of Representatives and it'll come over to the Senate, and we'll finish that. This year was unique because in the House it tied. There was no budget that came from the House, which put us in a unique situation that us in the Senate had to basically go and craft the budget. And so that put me in a lot of the discussions. And I was proud that we were able to come out with a 3% raise for all of our educators, for our state employees, because they really haven't had that opportunity to be able to see those raises since we hit the recession. I also thought that we would put significant amount of money that was going to go and help out programs, whether it's individual disabilities, whether it's senior citizen programs or veteran programs. I thought that those were some benefits as well. So overall, the budget being done was of course, the priority that I was responsible for being on the Finance Committee, and we were able to do so to be able to get that up to the governor's office and to be able to benefit the people across the state of New Mexico.
Okay. As you mentioned, it's only a 30-day session, and the number one responsibility is the budget, but there were some other things attempted, and I want to ask you about your biggest disappointments of this session, things that maybe you'd hoped would go differently, or bills that didn't pass that maybe were proposed that you were hoping for.
You know, there obviously you're not going to get everything you want in a budget session or in any legislative session, but I thought there were some things that I wish that we could have been able to do. I thought, you know, going and having a long-term fix for the lottery scholarship is something that we desperately need to do. I was glad that we were able to present that fix for those students who are in this current spring semester and to ensure that that's there for them. I do want to make sure that we have a fix that's going to ensure that every high school graduate, once they choose to go to college, that they have that opportunity to be able to have the lottery scholarship there. I also think that there was some disappointments in that we had put some additional language that would have really valued our education system with those veteran teachers, those level two and level three teachers. We put increases in their starting ranges, and that was vetoed. So, I was extremely disappointed with that. I was disappointed to see that there was a veto of the water projects as well. This is something that's big within our state, and to have that vetoed really puts us vulnerable for floods that could occur, just as it did in Ruidoso a few years ago. And it really shows a lack of a true plan for water projects around the state. And, you know, for the governor to veto that was a huge disappointment because many people worked extremely hard to make that into a viable possibility to address our water concerns.
Okay. Of course, jobs are continuing to be a huge issue in the state of New Mexico. And one of the issues that may come before the legislature here would involve an incentive package for the electric car company Tesla. This is generating some excitement, the potential that we might be able to get a factory to make batteries for this this company in the state of New Mexico. Tell me your thoughts on an incentive package for this company.
You know, just yesterday, I did send a letter to the CEO of Tesla showing my support as the chair of the Economic Rural Development Committee, and to be able to make sure that as a state senate and as a legislature, we need to come together in a bipartisan approach to be able to work with the executive to do what we can to bring Tesla to the table, to see what it is that they're asking, what is it that they're wanting, and to see what the state can do. We want to see what it's going to do and the impact as far as jobs. We looked at 6,500 jobs, maybe the potential there, which is great. But also, what are the other requirements are they going to want? What kind of land space are they going to need? What is it going to do to our water consumption, as we already know that that's a concern? So I do propose and I do support that we go into a special session. I think it would be a mistake to rush into a special session quickly without having the possibility to discuss with the legislature, to be able to discuss with the Economic Development Committee and the department and with Tesla, so we can have a very extensive, thorough special session, but not prolong it at the expense of taxpayer dollars. So those are things that I would propose that we go in early summer and we have a special session. But by rushing into it too quickly, it could be really detrimental to the whole process.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to updates on that for sure. I want to move beyond the session now, because in recent weeks we've had some big news in Santa Fe, and it actually relates to the office that you are running for, the governor of New Mexico. Current governor Susana Martinez had some controversy in that she vetoed a piece of legislation that would have required the governor's budget office to confer with the Legislative Finance Committee. The governor's office called it, quote, overly restrictive. Many folks disagree with that. What are your thoughts?
You know, it was disappointing that that occurred, because we are a government that's based on balance of powers, and you have your executive, legislative, and your judicial branches. And so by being a transparent state, we want to make sure that we can promote that. I think by doing that really tries to shift the power in one direction and take away from another. And I really think that we need to move away from that. We've got to make sure that we're working collectively with the people across the state of New Mexico, letting them know what are we doing with their government taxpayer dollars. And that's something that I think that we got to continue to push for, to make sure that we have a transparent government, that people can be comfortable, whatever it is that we're doing with their dollars, that it's going to benefit people across the state.
Okay. Well, another bit of controversy that's been caused recently is a spat between the governor and unions, a threat by Governor Martinez to stop collecting union dues. In fact, one individual saying this was sort of like declaring war. What are your thoughts on this proposal?
Well, it's definitely a campaign season, so you want to try to go, and I think what the governor was here trying to do here is to really rally her supporters and her donors to basically pick at certain things like this with the unions. You know, I was there in 2009 when we hit the recession. You know, a lot of times you're going to hear the governor say that she was responsible for balancing the budget and getting us out of the hole. That couldn't be further from the truth. She was still a district attorney here in Las Cruces when we had to make those difficult decisions. I saw it was those state employees. I saw those educators. I saw it was the people across the state of New Mexico who made the sacrifices, who took the pay cuts, and who got us out of this recession. And by being able to do that, it's unfortunate now that we've been able to get on strong footing within our finances, that we don't go and we don't thank those individuals, that we go instead, that we declare this type of approach to try to go after some of the things that are in place, such as these approaches with the unions. And the thing about that, and I really feel strongly, that if you're going to go and you're going to feel so strongly about this, as the governor has done, she brought it out in a speech on Tuesday, without even bringing that to the legislature. I think that that's wrong, because this is a law that was passed in 2003. And if there wants to be change to the law, then you bring legislation forward and you promote that, which she could have done during the 30-day session. It was never brought out. So obviously it was a campaign tactic. It was a political strategy to go and to really, hit the people who've been the ones who've taken us out of this recession from the beginning.
Okay. Well, I want to move on to another issue. Many folks who are listening right now may be familiar that you have a strong interest and a background in education. We talked about this pretty extensively recently on KRWG-TV, that you do have a doctorate in education. In fact, educational administration from New Mexico State University, right?
Has curriculum instruction here.
Curriculum and instruction. That's right. I'm sorry. Obviously, I'm thinking administration because that's that's the program that I'm in. So, but and working on education, but. We talked about that quite a bit in our television interview. This is back in the news again, not just because of the legislative session, but a recent development. There's a lawsuit actually challenging New Mexico's education funding. This is something that has happened in other states, including the state of Texas. It's been going on for a very long time in Texas, and now it appears that New Mexico will be dealing with this perhaps for a long time as well, because some advocacy groups say that the education funding in the state of New Mexico is not adequate to meet the requirements for the state. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, when this came out, again, is I was very involved with the budget, specifically the education budget for the state of New Mexico. And I did see that we did increase above-the-line spending, meaning that it was going to go directly to the school districts with value attached to each of those students. And so we saw that we increased that, and, you know, and it was unfortunate because there was a veto that took place that really affected that that above-the-line spending. So instead of going in at the higher amount, it was actually $15 million less. It's important that we point out as it's our responsibility to provide a free and appropriate education for all. That means students with disabilities. That means students with other areas as far as like English as second language, special education students. Regardless of it's our responsibility to educate those students. And when that comes, that we do have to put funding that's there. The state of New Mexico used to have 50% of its budget dedicated to K-12 spending, and actually that's dropped down to nearly 46 to 44%, depending on the year of when the budget came out. So we've seen that it's significantly been less. When that budget amount was reduced or vetoed by the governor in $15 million, that was money that was directed to at-risk students, students who may be at risk for dropping out or at risk for not completing their schooling. And that would have gone through to really address some of the concerns that we have, whether it's dealing with poverty, whether it's dealing with other issues, that would have been able to do that. And when that was vetoed, I think that was a disservice to our students, simply because we had the money in place. We've made sure and wanted to build that up to get the adequate funding necessary. And then we get taken back because it was vetoed. And so these are concerns. So obviously it's not going to be something that's going to be addressed overnight. But my plan in bringing forward is to have that 12% increase in education spending. When you want to talk about jobs and you want to talk about economic development, education has got to be at the center of that, whether it's workforce development, whether it's higher ed training or K-12 learning. It's got to be at the center of that discussion, and so we need to increase that, and that's going to be my plan to do so and to be able to provide that extra funding for educators, for those professionals who are doing the job as well, so that we can compete with other states and we don't lose those professionals to those other states.
Let me follow up on that briefly. You mentioned a very specific number here that you'd like to see a 12% increase in, and I'm assuming this is K-12 spending. What particular areas would you want to target, at least the major areas, in addition to helping at-risk students?
Well, absolutely. We want to make sure, like I had mentioned, that it's important that we take care of those professionals that are doing the job, that we're able to go and provide more services for those students. Because you can talk about academic achievement and student achievement, and the focus many times over the last, since the early 2000s has been on testing and to be able to have that student perform on a test. Well, all those tests cost a lot of money. To be able to provide services that really will engage the students, to be able to address some of the weaknesses they may have in reading or in math or any other particular portions of the education system. We need to be able to provide funding that can assist with that. I think that it's wraparound services are going to be key, because it can be very difficult for students to learn if they don't have the adequate health precautions taken care of. It's very difficult for a student to be able to learn if they don't have the adequate nutrition that's needed. So these are things that are all lend itself to a whole approach to education. And I believe that you educate the whole child mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and socially. And by being able to provide funding to help address that and help grow the student, we have a well-rounded student who graduates rather than a student who has been focusing on a test, so that data can show just how much that they've been learning, when in reality, it doesn't show much of learning at all.
Okay. One other specific matter in terms of funding, as I understand it, in the legislative session, there was a package put through to offer a salary increase for new teachers and current teachers. But as I understand it, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, the salary increase for new teachers was retained, but the salary increase for current teachers was it vetoed?
That's what I mentioned a little while ago with your level two and your level three teachers, okay. your veteran teachers.
Right. So they did not get the increase.
Every state employee and every educator got a 3% raise, and so that was something that we put in.
Okay, but not the flat amount. There was a 30 to 32,000 for the starting teacher, but for veteran teachers, there was no flat increase on top of a cost of living hike.
You're exactly right. So level two teachers would have gone from 40 to 42 beginning salary.
Okay.
Level three teachers would have gone from 50 to 52,000 beginning salary. And to have that in the budget where we absolutely are able to afford that, I think that it sends the wrong message to our teachers who have been in the classroom for years, to our educators who have worked for so many years to help those students. And yet it sends a message that we're trying to recruit as best we can new teachers into the profession. I agree with that, but you're kind of sending the message that's saying that we don't value you to stay, or we don't do anything to keep you to stay. And so I think it was a mixed messages that were sent by the governor. The money was in there, the discussions had taken place, and I felt that was a good compromise to make sure we got it through, and yet it was vetoed.
Okay. Final point here. As we mentioned at the beginning of our conversation today, your campaign got quite a boost at the pre-primary convention by being the overwhelming favorite at the convention. What are the biggest challenges for you as we head toward the primary coming up in June?
You know, it's been such a good run right now to be able to meet people all across the state of New Mexico, to be able to visit and hear what the concerns are. You know, and you see that, and we're a big state. So one of the things that we see is obviously traditional type of campaign is going to be TV ads and mailers, which we'll do. But I also want to make sure that we can personalize this campaign as much as possible, to go and have the same strategy that we did to win the pre-primary, is to visit every single 33 counties within this state to get in front of as many people as possible, because I'm confident as we can share our message and we get in front of people that we've been able to win them over. And I think that that's going to be, you know, it's going to be something I'm excited about. But the challenge is that it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of energy, and it's going to take a lot of traveling all around the state. And I'm ready to do it because I love this state of New Mexico, and I love to be able to meet the people from this state.
Going to take new tires on your car, too?
It already has.
I had a feeling. Well, thank you so much for being with us again, Senator Morales, and we wish you the best and hope to see you again soon.
Fred, thank you, and many blessings on your continued pursuit of your doctorate as well.
Thank you very much. I need those.